This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily. According to a story out of Agence France-Presse, most in Great Britain feel that the war in Afghanistan is unwinnable because of the increasing body count of their soldiers. Assisting in the discussion today, we have Michael Graham, a British national talk host on TalkSport Radio, the largest commercial radio station in Great Britain, covering England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. Michael, thanks for joining us today. As I mentioned, Agence France-Presse reports that most Britons are losing confidence in the Afghanistan war. When did you sense the change of tide, and can it be turned around?
Well, there hasn't really been a massive change of tide, but it was the most bloody confrontation for a long time. Since 2001, we had about 20 troops die in the last month during this Operation Panther's Claw. And it was really the rather emotive scenes of the coffins being unloaded off the plane, and they get driven through this little village in the West Country in Wiltshire called Wootton Bassett, and thousands upon thousands of people have been lining the streets to see these young men coming back, Some of them, of course, as young as 18. And it also hasn't been helped by a huge problem politically in the country, where Gordon Brown's government has very, very little sympathy in anything that it does.
And I want to get into that in just a bit. But apropos of what you've just stated, NBC reported on some other British concerns. Let's have a quick listen. First, this from anchor Brian Williams.
Great Britain is in this war with the U.S. side by side as they were in Iraq, but the Brits have lost more soldiers in Afghanistan than they lost in Iraq.
And we also have this from NBC's Stephanie Koss.
In opinion polls, Britons are split down the middle over the war, but a majority worry that their troops aren't well equipped. There's a lack of helicopters, and critics say that many of their vehicles are unsafe.
Now, Michael, according to your own Foreign Secretary, David Miliband, he announced that your country would be seeking out moderate Taliban representatives in an effort to isolate insurgents responsible for killing over 190 British troops since 2001. Now, a quick aside, how populated is the moderate Taliban community anyway? I mean, isn't that a bit like seeking out racially progressive members of the KKK?
Well, it is an interesting point that you make. I mean, this is the policy, of course, that they tried to pursue in Northern Ireland, where they tried to separate out the likes of Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness, who were becoming more and more politicized and who later became Sinn Féin, away from the more desperate people who were just never, ever going to come to the table. And the trouble is, of course, that many people believe the more attacks that we make on the Taliban, the more likely it is that fewer and fewer of them are going to be in any way moderate. So I don't really think that Miliband's idea has much chance of flying, really.
Is it having any resonance in the arena of public discussion? Are people really taking this seriously just because they feel it might otherwise play for additional momentum to get the troops out?
Well, not too many people take Miliband seriously as a foreign secretary in any event, but certainly the difficulty for most British people is, when does this Afghan conflict end? And there doesn't appear to be politically any kind of end. I mean, the question that most people are really asking is, how do we know we're even winning? And of course, only yesterday did Gordon Brown come out and say that it looks as though the first phase of Panther's Claw has been a success. We've driven the Taliban out of an area the same size of the Isle of Wight, which is approximately 200 square miles. 80,000 people supposedly now in Afghanistan are able to live normally without the worry of the Taliban.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because you folks did just triumphantly complete the first phase of Operation Panther's Claw. Again, 3,000 British troops delivering tremendous losses to the Taliban. Your nation's victories far outweigh the setbacks. So why, in your estimation, would so many want to squander all of those empirically verifiable, hard-fought gains?
Well, what people say is, of course, you don't really win against the Taliban. You just kind of move them around for a while. And whether they come back again, as they've previously done, is another issue of how many troops we have and how well-equipped they are. Because one of the problems we have is that we can't really put any more troops in, because we don't have any more.
By such a standard, you've pretty much given the perfect schematic necessary for the enemy to figure out that they can always prevail over you, because all they need to do is give you the impression that they'll never get tired.
Well, indeed. And I think one of the other political imperatives that's coming from the British side as well is that, you know, we have German troops in Afghanistan, we have Danish troops, and we have French troops. The Danish took part in Operation Panther's Claw, but the Germans and the French don't seem to be doing very much of anything. So if we're going to have to stay in the Helmand province where we are to keep the Taliban out, then some of these other European nations are going to have to go do some fighting so that we can push them even further away.
We were talking about the politics of all this, and admittedly, it's not going very well for Prime Minister Gordon Brown, are they? I mean, according to The Independent, 58% think the war is now unwinnable. Meanwhile, Brown was the one, if memory serves, who had called for more equipment and increased troops in Afghanistan. Here's the oddest thing, though. That same poll says 58% think the war is a lost cause. The same poll also reflects that only 52% want the troops home right now. That would seem to suggest that 6% want troops to remain in a fight they feel can't be won. I mean, I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but I think the results expose the sort of fickle nature of polls in general. What's your take?
Well, that's true. I think the fickle nature of the British public in general, too, because there are people, I believe, who think that, you know, we have an army, but they don't actually want to go anywhere and fight anybody where they might be subject to being actually killed and horribly injured. So in the end, the government has to really ignore the polls. But certainly every military expert is saying we can't possibly pull out now because that would be the biggest mistake we could ever make. So I think the British public is beginning to understand that we can't just flick a switch and bring them all back. But they do realize that we want some form of a suggestion about where it ends. When does it end? How do we know we've won?
Let me ask you, there are measures that can illustrate efficacy if folks are willing to read them, if folks are willing to report them. And I happened to come across a rather interesting nugget last week. It was there on the front page of our own Washington Post, but I didn't hear it resonating much throughout the rest of the media community, which I found quite surprising. And it's this. Are you aware of the fact that we have reduced opium sales, or opium harvest, I should say poppy production, out of Afghanistan by 95%?
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't know that, because that hasn't been reported over here at all, which surprises me, because you would have thought that this government would take any piece of good news and absolutely run with it, because one of the reasons we had problems with public opinion in the first place was in the beginning years in Afghanistan. People were saying, why are the British troops not destroying these opium crops? And the reason we were given for why not was that in order not to upset the people growing the poppies and send them even further towards the Taliban, we had to let them make some money on the side, which was always a rather spurious reason, it seemed to me. But if indeed that is the case, I'm staggered that we, the British public, haven't been told.
Well, because everybody understands it is the linchpin to stability. And while you don't want to ruin the economies of the locals, that doesn't necessarily have to be the choice. It shouldn't have to be either opium or starvation. It can be, hey, let's replace these crops with more conventional food crops and allow folks to enjoy an increase in commerce from that. Now, granted, they're not going to get quite the same cash flow as they would the crops, but then again, they're also not going to be as likely to have their family members threatened with extinction unless they cooperate with the Taliban either.
Well, indeed, and I guess it's a similar problem that the U.S. faced in Colombia when they were trying to convince the Colombian farmers not to grow the cocoa plant and produce a lot of cocaine. And I understand they tried to get them to do coffee instead, and they just, in the end, gave up because they didn't make enough money. So I'm hopeful that if they can replace the crops with something else, because an awful lot of the heroin produced there ends up on the streets of Britain, you know, that would be a great thing. And maybe that would seem as though we were winning the war. The other thing I should mention to you, which kind of gives the impression of how hopeless the Gordon Brown administration is right now, today in London, the Ministry of Defence was actually taking two members of the armed forces to court who had been injured in Iraq with a view to reducing the amount of compensation they got for their injuries, which has been seen as possibly the worst ever timing of all in any political arena ever.
Michael Graham, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Once again, that was Michael Graham, national UK talk host, heard on TalkSport Radio. This is Alan Nathan of Radio America, sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily.